Welcome back to Self-Love 365, the daily podcast where we explore the concept and practice of self-love. I'm your host, Lily, and this is day 21. You're in charge of your own self-love. Hello, happy Sunday. It's day 21 of our journey together. Seems like a magical number to me. And we have spent a week claiming our right to self-love by discussing the basics. And as a reminder, these are basics. So if you don't have these things in place, definitely spend some time today thinking about how you can get them in place. And the seventh basic falls right in line with that because it is autonomy, which is a word I learned when I became an American literature major, became obsessed with 19th century American literature heroines, and our classroom discussions all too often centered around the fact that these women did not have autonomy. So autonomy means that you are your own boss when it comes to your body, your physical surroundings, your safety, all of these basics we've gone over. If you don't have the final say in these basics, whether you're secure or safe, have a support system, have time, energy, and space in your life, and have say over how you apply your own ethics to what you want to do, if you don't have the final say over those things, then you don't have autonomy. So autonomy isn't something that people give to you. It's something that you claim. And that's why I wanted to end on it this week. Yes, having all of these things is part of our privilege. And it's part of my privilege as a middle-class white person who is in a long-term stable relationship and whose basic needs are met. But I actually got to this place of having all of these things by deciding I wanted to be autonomous. I wanted to have control of what happened to me. I no longer wanted to be dependent on others to make the decisions I needed to make for my life. So claiming autonomy is, while a basic, it's very, very important within a self-love practice, because we're going to be making choices. We're always going to be making choices within this framework. About how to love ourselves, where to love ourselves, the best way to love ourselves. Do we want to spend money on loving ourselves? Do we want to save money and love ourselves? Do we want to spend time with friends as a form of loving ourselves? Do we want to be alone? There are 1,000 choices we're going to make throughout the day that we can tie every single one of them back to the lens of self-love. And if I don't have autonomy, then one or more of those choices, chances are a lot of those choices are not going to be mine to make. Autonomy is mental, but it's not just mental. But it does start with this desire to be emotionally independent. And then that leads to a building of resources in one's life that allows them to be independent. So if we go back to these heroines that I always identified with, I mean, when I was in college, when finally old enough to declare a major and see it through, I was actually married to my first husband. And I identified so much with these women, even though clearly I'm not living in the same restrictive times. But emotionally, I felt like I could not make my own decisions, that I had gone from being someone's daughter to being someone's wife. And that there existed a dynamic in which I was relying on someone else to control my fate, you know, to have the final say-so over enough things in my life that I didn't feel like I had autonomy. And one particular book I read, which I think stands the test of time, is called The Awakening. It's my favorite book since the very first time I read it. It became my favorite book, and I've read it countless times since. And, you know, these women in this book and in a lot of the other books, they end up taking their own life or dying or being shamed to the point that they might as well die. And that's the way, you know, the female authors of that day, quote, you know, got their heroine out of the bind they were in. Basically, their only option for autonomy was to die. I wrote a really great paper once on The Awakening, the ending of The Awakening. She walks into the ocean, and I wrote about how it was, she was going off to her next life. So it wasn't an ending, it was a beginning. But that's the way these fictional ladies, and in that time period, many, many ladies, actually, that is the way that they found autonomy, was by taking their own life. But when I was married, you know, and I, even though I identified with these heroines, I realized that wasn't the way out. That wasn't the only way out. Because I did have resources I could tap into. I just hadn't been doing that. So, long story short, I got a divorce. we'll skip to that part. And that's what I needed to do at that time. To claim autonomy, I needed to spend a certain number of years living on my own. I'm not saying that's what everyone would need to do. But if there are aspects of your physical space or your emotional boundaries that you actually don't have control over, that you can't say, no, I'm going to do this, or I need my space right now, or I need to go on a walk by myself, or the best thing for me to do is blank. If you're in a situation where you're not the one calling the shots about your own person, then you don't have autonomy. And it will be difficult, if not impossible, to practice self-love. Because if you're always checking in with someone else, they're not going to encourage you to love yourself first. They're going to encourage you to love them first. And then if there's some love left over, you can have it for yourself. So the good thing is that autonomy, we know how to do autonomy because we're adept at making choices. So if we just think of it on that kind of literal level, of here's, you know, a set of choices I need to make for myself. Maybe that's where you start. That's what goes into building autonomy. You know, you certainly, the only way to get to autonomy is not some grand gesture. I mean, sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes it's necessary. It's not the only way. You can start setting small boundaries, making healthy choices, and bring about autonomy in different parts of your life. For me, when I was breastfeeding my second son, it was impossible for me emotionally and mentally to feel like I had autonomy. And I know that's not true for everyone, and maybe wouldn't have even been true for me if I wasn't clinically depressed, but that's how it felt at the time. And so when the opportunity arose, when he was about 3 months old and we both got really sick and he wasn't really showing interest in breastfeeding, I saw that as a chance to claim autonomy. In some ways, it was a very small decision that didn't have a huge ripple effect. But I knew in my heart that I was doing something that was going to reclaim a piece of myself that I needed back, a piece of my emotional self. And I share that as an example, again, of not a grand gesture. It wasn't a big deal. I didn't have to write home about it. It was a decision I made. It was between me and my child. In some ways, we made it together, but as the adult, I obviously moved forward on the decision, and it turned out great. We have a loving, affectionate, very attached relationship. Had I not done that, I don't know what the repercussions would have been. I only know at the time that that was the best decision for me at the time. And if it was the best decision for me as a mom, I feel like it was also the best decision for him. So that's one choice I can look to and say, I stand by that choice. I would not go back and change it. Another one is getting a divorce from my first husband. And a third choice that I would stand by to this day is probably year two of the magazine when I was publishing. I had been publishing a magazine for a year, but I had sort of accidentally fallen into this role. And then I took the time before year two started to intentionally choose to keep going. And that made the journey more enjoyable and manageable. But I could have made the other choice. I could have said, no, this is too much. I'm not going to do this. I do not regret that choice. It has led me into so many places I am today in my life. So those are three choices I share with you that I have made in my life that I stand by as a reminder that I am good at making the choices that are right for me. And the reason I'm sharing them with you is because your action item today is for you to do the same thing. Make a list, three choices you've made in your life that you do not regret and that you can connect to. That was important for me to make because it brought me autonomy, independence, emotionally, physically, mental well-being. Okie doke. Guess what? We're going to be back together Monday. Yay! Gratitude for all those of you who listened to this episode, and also to Henry Liu for contributing our original music, and Jesse over at Little Legends Design Studio for creating our custom graphics. Also, much love to all those of you following us on Twitter at 365_self. And to the select few of you who are following the weekly digest over at 365daysofselflove.com. Don't forget, this week's mantra is I claim my right to self-love.